Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at BollAndBranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, folks. We're joined by Kevin Dolio, the director of Louis Armstrong International Airport. I've known Kevin for years. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, Noah.
Kevin, I know that we've discussed with both Michael Heck, Kelly Schultz, and others, you know, about what's going on in the city and obviously the importance of the airport to everything that's happening here, big conventions in town. And I know that part of the responsibility is yours, and then the airlines make their own decisions. What is the status of the runways, where we stand as it relates to being able to receive airplanes into the airport?
We are actually very close. You know, we've had snow plows on site since 4 this morning. It started with clearing roadways to have access to the terminal facilities. And have been on the airfield for several hours now and making very good progress on the airfield. In fact, I've been out and physically observed how that operation was going. And actually, to my surprise, the snow and ice and so forth was clearing a little better than I expected. And then all of us expect it. So it's the operation's gone very well. We're making really good progress on clearing pavement, and I expect we'll have an operable airfield pretty soon.
Any idea as to the accumulation rate y'all had at the airport?
Well, I know we took 8 inches of snow out here.
Wow.
And different spots around the airfield. Of course, you had drifts as well that were deeper in some areas. So we probably ran from 4 inches to 10, 11 inches, depending on where you were in the airfield.
And obviously, a lot of the decisions that are made by the airlines are influenced by the progress that y'all are making with, obviously, the ingress and egress to the terminal building. What is it? The AOA and the runways, right?
Right, and it's a mix of factors. You know, it's if you recall, New Orleans as well as the two Houston airports. In fact, the two Houston airports, the airlines made the decision to cancel all operations from those airports on Sunday prior to. Announced on Sunday for Tuesday. Okay, so it was a proactive move to ensure that I guess no one was put in harm's way. There's concern with passengers and employees having the ability to safely get to the airport, and I've heard that expressed a number of times with our stakeholders here.
Yes,
with the air carriers and others. And so you know, that's a factor as well, just safe conditions in the area, and then safety on the airfield, of course. You know, clear runways, an apron that your aircraft can transverse safely, and parking at your gates, and your ground personnel with the ability to access the baggage makeup areas and different areas on the airfield safely as well in your tugs. But again, all of that is coming along very well. I was pleasantly surprised in putting my eyes on the operation on how well it is going.
Kevin, just so folks have an idea of the magnitude of the airport, how many employees work there in a day? I mean, you know, all the officials are saying stay home, don't get on the road. So it's hard, you know, to make this decision and have all of this work in balance. How many folks would work at the airport in a given day?
There's 10,000 badged employees. I'm sorry, 4,000 badged employees at the airport. And on any given day, probably a good quarter to half, at least, of that number is working at the airport, or potentially better than that. So it's a bunch of folks that have to move, and you know, the different pieces of an airline operation, from the ticket counter to the sky caps to baggage handlers, the maintenance group that has to be on board, you know, even your pilots and flight attendants transiting the roadway systems and shuttles and so forth as they're in and out of the city. All of those folks have to be able to safely get to the airport to get to their jobs. In the past several hours, as airlines were making the decision about today even, that was something that came up again. Yeah. So it's a mix of those factors that go in the mix. And then what's happening in their system. You have to keep in mind, too, that some airlines are being impacted in several cities at the same time by this system that's moving across the country. And in some cases, like the Houstons and Atlantas of the world, it's major hub facilities that a lot of their equipment moves through. So when they're calling shots on airports, they're actually, besides the local view, they're giving it a system-wide view as well. Yeah. As they're calling shots in different airports.
Well, when the arterial roads to the airport are not cleared, they're not snowplowed, they're not safe to travel on. I mean, it's hard.
Right.
It's hard
right.
to make that decision to open the airport when people just simply can't get there. Right.
I mean, absolutely. Yes. Yes.
So, best case scenario, things back to some semblance of normalcy on Friday.
I'm actually seeing the operation coming back up by midday tomorrow or
awesome.
Into the afternoon tomorrow.
Yeah,
and
great.
then, of course, fully normal by Friday. Yeah. I'm optimistic, but again, it's looking, you know, I'm not just sitting in the office eyeballing the airfield from afar and just going out and physically seeing what's going on. It made me feel that much more confident about our ability to get the facilities up and operable.
Well, that's great news because I know a lot of folks are relying on you guys getting open sooner rather than later, and that's good to
right.
hear. And we know you're busy. Thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate it. Is there any other message that you want to get out? I'm sorry. I meant to give you that opportunity before.
Just to please, before coming to the airport, you know, we say it all the time, I'll say again, please ensure you're calling your airline and checking on the status of your flight before coming out. We've had a few people that have shown up at the airport over this two-day period, and there's no services out here.
Yeah.
There's no flights going, and there's no services for them at all in the facility. So they're better where they are, and not come into the airport until you know your flight's going.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck to you. Hopefully, that optimism just drives right through all the challenges that are there.
Right. thank
it's
you.
Good
very
to hear
much.
Your voice, Kevin. It's been a long time. Thank you so much. Truly appreciate it.
Okay.
All right, we got JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large, joining us. JP, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Mel. Glad to be here.
Well, JP, another challenge of a different sort. One. one that we hadn't seen like this since, what, 1895.
People said, anyone who's ever said that'll happen when hell freezes over, well, it's frozen over.
That happened
the last 2 days. Yeah, it happened.
So from your perspective, Tommy Tucker and I were on air together last night. We talked again this morning on air, and I made the observation that I thought the city really hit the target on the execution of their plan. The state did, I thought, as well. The surrounding parishes working in concert with the city of New Orleans. You know, it seems as though everybody was really kind of spot on. And yesterday I said, you know, it was a proud moment to see the barricades deployed. I saw more New Orleans police officers on the street than I've ever seen, I think, you know, since I've been in law enforcement. It was encouraging.
No, I agree. I mean, I think sometimes we've gotten to a point with PTSD that when a disaster of any sort happens, we kind of assume the worst case scenario, which in a way is disheartening, but it also kind of sets you up for pleasant surprises. And I mean, we've been monitoring carefully with the Council Utility Committee energy outages. And I mean, no one likes to give energy any credit for anything, but Energy New Orleans was pretty spot on. I mean, we had one. Most of the outages we had were about under 100 per Councilmatic district, which, considering a major snow ice event, isn't bad. We had one blip that was 2,400 people that they got back up within 20 or 30 minutes. And what I want to remind people is those are crews going out in the snow to flip those switches to get that power back on. So I think part of the reason why people really, when you look on social media, they're out playing in the snow and enjoying it, is because you're able to go back into your house, which is heated.
Yeah,
which absolutely is nice.
Yeah, and you know, we had some folks on from Entergy yesterday, and they were talking about more than half of their outages were caused by people that ran off the road and hit a power pole.
Well, I think what we've seen over and over again, Newell, is that the biggest challenges we've had in the last 48 hours have really mostly been human error, as in people are told repeatedly. And I mean, we all live in Southeast Louisiana. Very few people have any experience driving in snow. And when the police tell you repeatedly, stay in your home, stay in your area, it's like there's always that person who wants to ice skate uphill and decides that, no, I'm going to go drive around and do some disaster tourism. And the worst is when that person at that telephone pole, not only is the power out for your neighbors, but who's going to come get you out your car? Because the police are busy manning the roads, keeping smart people off the highways. And it's just when government suggests you stay in your home for your safety and for your community, we're not doing that idly. We're not trying to, like, give people cabin fever. We're trying to say with the resources we have, it's not safe for you to be on the streets. And more importantly, we don't have the resources that if you do something stupid or something bad happens, that we can get out to you timely.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I had Kelly Schultz on earlier from New Orleans and Company. Michael Heck was on. We were talking about all of the activities that are still going on here, right? And you just heard Kevin Dolio, and that would be huge if we could get the airport open back up tomorrow afternoon. We got one of the largest conventions of the year here, NADA, supposed to start tomorrow, and it's a go. And it's important to our local economy. I mean, you know, the hospitality industry's taking another hit here because if they can't get to work, they don't make any money.
Well, no, I mean, it's a twofold hit. One, our hardworking people, our citizens can't get to work. And two, that convention, which, as you know, NADA is one of our longest serving partners as far as repeatedly coming to the city, that experience is ruined. And I mean, I doubt they're going to not look at us again because they're afraid there'll be another blizzard. But it certainly it puts a negative connotation with the city in their memory, which makes it that much harder for Walt and Kelly and New Orleans and Company to get people back here. So, I mean, I know that there have been some challenges with the downtown development district clearing the streets. I do think that as we tend to look in retrospect at what could have been done better, maybe it's an issue of rather than having no snow equipment, we probably should have some. That's probably something that we're going to have to keep in the cards. And I know people hate for me to use the double C word, the climate change word, but I mean, there's a possibility that I don't think we're going to have a snow event like this every year, but it could be every 5 to 10 years if that's the case. And I mean, maybe for the areas that are most trafficked, like downtown, the French Quarter, and the like, the areas that if we have captive audiences that are tourists who don't know or have a house to stay in, we need to have the equipment to keep those areas clear. And more importantly, with our airport, they don't, I mean, most airports that are in colder areas have that equipment to keep everything clear. Ours doesn't. And I mean, it's a cost, but it's something we should probably consider going forward because this event has been paralyzing. And I mean, I'm not going to get into the horror stories I've heard. This is not our airport. This is the airline. So I'm speaking to you, airlines. You know what's amazing? How an airline can cancel your flight and then give you impossible requirements to get your money back. And that's just something we're starting. I mean, you know, council offices get the complaints from everyone for everything. But the number of calls we've gotten from people who are just like, my flight was canceled, and they told me that if I didn't print my boarding pass, I gave up my money. I mean, it's one of those things Congress, I know, has dipped its toes in repeatedly, and the former President Biden did, but it is amazing how something that could be an unfortunate experience could be made truly miserable in the aftermath just by corporations not wanting to do the right thing.
Yeah, I mean, it makes it really difficult, and it's an exponential thing for us because we're a hospitality town, right? And human nature is you have something bad happen during that, you know, that visit, that's what they remember. And you have to work twice as hard to overcome it.
You're 100% right.
Yeah. As we now enter the melt phase of this event, What are you guys on the council and the administration talking about as the biggest challenge for y'all?
Well, the biggest challenge is that we obviously want everyone to get back to work. Want everyone to be able to get back to visiting their friends and family across the city. But as you know, this is kind of the less sexy, more dangerous portion of a snow event in that until weathers get truly warmer, which I think is Sunday, is when we're supposed to see the weather like really take a turn for it returning to the way it's supposed to be, that as the ice melts, depending on temperatures that go on, especially at night, the ice will refreeze. And you can see snow, you can't see ice on the road.
Right.
And I just want people to be very clear that it will be a while, probably late Saturday, possibly Sunday, before you could pretend to start driving like you used to do before this event. Everyone has to treat the streets like they are slick, like they are dangerous, until government tells you that they're not. And just because the ice may have melted quicker around your neighborhood, as you're traversing the city, especially as you're going on bridges and elevated expressways, you are going to have to drive slow, and you're going to have to drive carefully. And you're going to have to drive defensively because as slow and carefully as you're driving, there is going to be that jerk driving on the highway, not slow or carefully. So you have to account for people being idiots. So it's just as much as things are going to begin to go back to normal, you're really not going to see normal probably till the other side of the weekend. So just don't expect, as you take to the roads again, probably late Thursday, early Friday, to really be able to drive without some trepidation until a weekend. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have one lane passage for the next 3 to 4 days for certain, right?
Right.
And also,
if you're inside of the city proper and you have the ability to do so, just don't use the expressway. Everyone, just use the streets. Because the reality is the most dangerous place to be during an event, especially during a refreeze, is on the elevated expressways. And for the most part, all of our highway is elevated. Just use the normal routes that are street level for the time being and give some time, not just for nature, but DOTD is pouring sand on the roads. They're doing their best to help try get us to somewhere where it's going to be navigable. And just give them the time and give us the time to get those elevated expressways to a place where you can all use them freely.
So I was watching some video last night of some folks with ice skates playing hockey on Canal Street. That wasn't you, right?
Well, if you've ever seen me skate, that would have been me sliding by everyone into a snowdrift. So no, we did try and fail to we had our moment. We tried to do the trash can top on the levees. That failed. Then Newell, I had this moment where like I decided I was gonna be Tim Allen and build a sled with a cardboard box and some skis we had. That went poorly. And then we realized after about freezing our butts off for a while that the levees simply aren't by our house. They aren't steep enough. You have to have a steep hill right to actually sled on. And the choice hills aren't near us, and we're going to get in the car and drive there because we have to lead by example. So we just didn't get the sled.
Right.
It was kind of disappointing, but it is what it is.
Well, I thought I saw some red shoes, so I wasn't sure, my friend.
You know what? But the red shoes have taken root. I mean, honestly, if you look in pictures, Noonie Man wears red shoes all the time now. So it's not just me.
You're a trendsetter, babe.
I'm a trendsetter when it comes to the red shoes.
Well, JP, thank you so much for joining us. Stay the course. We appreciate all that you guys are doing, and stay warm.
Appreciate you keeping everybody informed, Noel.
Thank you, sir. JP Morrell, New Orleans City Council member at large. We will be right back. We'll visit with Ray Smith from Pipes Sir Us about the do's and the don'ts.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
with us. Welcome back, folks, for our continuing coverage of the historic winter storm event. We are joined by Ray Smith. He is a plumbing mechanic with Pipes or Us. Ray, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel. Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. So, Ray, we are entering maybe the first hour that we're going to be above freezing for a couple of days here. I think the posted temperature is around 33 degrees. At 33, if you have that stream of water at your house, you don't recommend stopping that at 33 degrees, right?
Well, I would suggest going to your water intake, wherever it comes into your house, and try to turn it off from there until you can call a service repair plumber to come out and assess the situation for you.
No, what I'm saying is that you've had a stream of water that you've had through this entire event, and now that we're just getting above freezing, you shouldn't stop that stream of water at 33 degrees.
No. I would let it run, Noel.
Yeah, because it looks like they're predicting that we might get to 34, but that might not be, you know, the case. I mean, it looks like we're going to linger around 33 degrees for about another 3 hours.
Right, and then it's going to drop a little freezing again tonight. So yeah. Anyone that has been running their water, I suggest they keep running it.
Right. I have received some texts and I've had some calls of people that are noticing water in their pan underneath their hot water heater. What is that? What causes that?
Well, it could be a number of things. If the water heater is set too high, it could be the relief valve popping off of too much pressure in the tank. I suggest they check the thermostat on a water heater and turn it down. It may be up too high. That's what usually causes the pressure relief valve to start spewing, is too much pressure in the tank from the temperature being set too high inside of the tank.
Are there any other possible causes of that?
Yeah, the tank could be failing, but that's usually not the case unless it's outside.
Right.
If it's inside, I wouldn't think the tank would be failing because of the temperature change.
So, Ray, as we enter what, you know, I've been referring to as the melt, does that present any particular challenge from a plumbing perspective?
Well, the phone's starting to ring because people are discovering leaks now that the thaw is somewhat, we're getting up our freezing a little bit, and people are seeing water, so the phone has definitely picked up in the last hour or two, and we're making a list, and we're going to get to everyone as promptly as we can.
Yeah, and that's because did they not recognize that their pipes were frozen, or what?
It could be a combination of a few things. I mean, either they didn't run the water and they had a pipe that was on the way or leaking and finally gave way with the freeze and froze. And now that it's thawing out, they see water starting to come out since the water's starting to flow again.
Right. And obviously, the best advice is to go to the main or to go to the intake by at the front of your house and turn that valve off immediately.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's about the only thing we could do. I mean, we're going to get to everyone as soon as we can, but we're making a list, and we're going to go down the list. And I'm telling people it's imperative they answer their phone tomorrow, because once we get out and about, if they don't answer their phone, we're going to have to skip over them and go to the next call and then try to get back with them.
Yeah, and
so you don't lose your line.
That's pretty much going to be the practice of everyone, because as those lists get large and they're having to deal with it, they can't waste time looking for folks, right?
Yes, sir. And another thing we found from the 89 freeze was the hot side of your water line, especially in a raised house, usually the hot water line freezes first and you have more leaks on the hot side. So depending on what we see, we may turn the water heater off and fire up the cold and see how many leaks we have on the cold side, repair those first so people can have working toilets and, you know, work at running water. And then if we turn the water heater on and there's more leaks on the hot side, we may have to reschedule that for a later date, you know, depending on how bad the situation is.
Right. And that's because historically a lot of people don't run the hot and the cold side, right?
That's correct.
And, you know, it's interesting how many people were surprised by that advice in advance of this event, that the hot side needs to be run as well. And I was kind of shocked by the number of people that didn't realize that.
Right, because if the water is just sitting in the hot water line and hot water does freeze faster, by it not moving, it's going to freeze first. And you're going to, the hot line is the first one that's going to go.
Right. Final thoughts, Ray?
I'm praying for the best, and you know that's all we can do at this point is wait and see how bad the situation is going to be. But it's unprecedented for us down here. In my 64 years, I've never seen any kind of snow like this that we've seen yesterday. That's for sure.
Yeah, and it looks like we're not going to get significantly above freezing until tomorrow afternoon around 2 p.m. We get up to 40 degrees. And at that point in time, you know, you'll begin to see more melt, right?
Yes, sir. I mean, as the temperature rises, people are going to realize their water pressure has dropped, and then they're going to discover leaks or whatever. But all I can say is just ask people to be patient, and we'll get to everyone as soon as we can. But Mother Nature can be treacherous, and she threw us a curveball this time, that's for sure.
No doubt about it. Ray Smith with Pipes for Us, thank you so much for joining us. Truly appreciate it. Stay safe out there.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we return, we will visit with Kasan Corbin, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Stay with us. Welcome back to our continuing coverage of this historic snow event. We are joined by Kasan Corbin, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board. Kasan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Norm. Good afternoon.
And thank you so much for joining us. As we now enter the melt phase of this event, what are we seeing?
Well, we remain in stable condition. We're keeping up with the demand. We have a slight drop in pressure overall, and that it's explained by higher than usual consumption, but nothing alarming or concerning. So we're keeping up, and the number of calls we're receiving continues to be on a smaller side, but less than 200 calls so far. That's really, when you consider over 140,000 customers, that's really a small number. We don't think we're out of the woods yet because the thawing maybe is temporary today because, you know, the temperature is going to continue to drop. And we have an overnight situation where, you know, more freezing is likely. And we will know the scale of the event and its impact probably tomorrow morning, when the temperature starts steadily going up, and then that's when you're going to see the real impact. So we're bracing for that. And today we're sending out inspectors as carefully as we can to assess our own water main breaks to determine what needs immediate attention and what can wait. And we'll just continue to monitor, and, you know, we remain hopeful that, you know, impact will be minimal tomorrow.
Yeah, we were just talking to Ray Smith with Pipes for Us from the plumbing perspective with, you know, the temperature, I think, is supposed to be 33 degrees at 2 o'clock and stay there until 4 and then drop back to freezing again. Their recommendation is to not, you know, stop the stream of water at your house. So this challenge and pressure on the system will continue through the evening, right?
Yes, but I prefer that people continue that practice and not stop and go because, you know, there's inconsistency with that and people may forget and not pay attention. So we would prefer that trickle to continue and keep that practice until tomorrow morning where, again, the temperatures start rising steadily and the danger or the threat goes away. So I concur with whoever your guest was and his recommendation.
And other than pressure, obviously, and your concern, you guys, I think I wrote this down yesterday. It was a striking number to me, 146 million gallons on the East Bank, 13 million on the West Bank, I think, is what you told me is what you guys are producing, and you're looking to maintain, 70 PSI. Is there a way to quantify how many breaks for residential service would really be an insurmountable challenge or a challenge for you guys?
Well, today it's not very easy to do because, you know, some of the uptick in consumption could be due to just higher usage, normal usage, because more people are at home using water. So that also the trickle practice, you know, the spaghetti thin trickle that amounts to a certain million gallons a day, and then you have our own water main break. So we're monitoring the pressure for an abrupt change, and that typically tells us there's a main break somewhere that, you know, just happened. So we have multiple points across the city that we're monitoring the best we can, and obviously we're also relying on our customers to tell us, you know, if they see water bubbling in the street somewhere, because we need to know so we can again send an inspector and assess the scale of that break and the immediate need for it to be repaired. So overall, you know, again, we're stable, and you know, we're again hopeful that we maintain that balance. But there's really no way to quantify or answer your question specifically to how many frozen pipes we have, and some may not be evident until tomorrow. Truly,
right? Yeah.
Some pipes burst straight away. Some don't. Maybe some the frozen water is blocking the leakage, and then when things thaw out, then you know the leak become more evident. So again, remains to be seen.
Obviously, if y'all have a main break with these climates and the situation at hand, it makes it a lot more difficult to repair those, right?
Well, there's an extra challenge associated with just the temperatures and dealing with water. I remember the days in Milwaukee we would bring a salt truck to accompany the water crew to keep salting. It's because the water that is gushing out, you know, if the temperatures are low, then you have a serious freezing situation and, you know, ice situation across entire block. So in this case, you know, we're concerned about the safety and the challenge to our crews dealing with that. But we would not obviously hold back if we need to, you know, handle a situation, we will. They have protective gears and they'll manage it as challenging as it is. But we haven't really started making any repairs. Again, we're in the assessment mode just to see, you know, kind of put a priority list of what water main break gets the priority. And we haven't had that many, which is a good thing, obviously. So it's all manageable so far.
Yeah. Ghassan, we spent a lot of time talking about the water side. Is there any particular challenge on the sewer or sewage side?
So far, no issues with sewer. We have a couple blockage, but that is just coincidental. I mean, those things happen on a regular basis, unfortunately, and we have a few calls that are associated with sewer, but it's not weather-related. It's just that's the way it is in the city because of the old, you know, system, but nothing, significant to correlate to the weather. Obviously, we're watching the street conditions and, you know, the melting of the snow, although we don't suspect it's going to have any serious impact on canal levels by any means, because I don't know if you know this, but the amount of snow we've received, which is, you know, historic and all that, would amount to about less than an inch of water of like a rain event. So it's really not a lot of water to drain, but we're concerned about blockage because of ice and what have you. So hopefully, you know, the melting by end of Thursday and obviously continuing to Friday will resolve that issue, you know, naturally.
I guess there's going to be this thought process once we get above freezing into 40-degree range, people are going to want to be maybe clearing their walkway and utilizing their hoses to do so. I can't imagine that that would be a recommended practice, right?
Using water to clear their sidewalks? Well,
yes.
I wouldn't recommend that, obviously. I mean, if it's not dropping below freezing, it's there's no danger there. But that's a, you know, consuming water that, you know, there's probably alternative to that. Again, the weather looking very good into, you know, again, Thursday or Friday, it's sunny and warmer, and most of that will go away on its own.
Yeah.
So one thing I would caution people is that if you want to remove some snow, just make sure that you're not blocking catch basins because that water needs to go somewhere.
Absolutely. Final thoughts?
Yeah. I'm feeling good about this. You know, it's a historic storm and all that. It's exciting in many ways to the city and distracting, but it's also, you know, so far it hasn't really posed any concerns to us. So we're happy about that, and we continue to monitor and we'll respond as we need to.
Absolutely. I think everyone has got their fingers crossed and hopes that this next phase goes without a hitch. Thank you so much for joining us. Best of luck to you. Stay warm, my friend.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
That's Ghassan Corbin, Executive Director of the New Orleans Sewerage and Water Board. We are going to get to a break, 504-260-1870, on our continuing coverage of this historic winter event. Stay with us. Folks, we'll have continuing coverage of this historic winter event. Scoot is going to be headed your way for the next couple of hours, and then Dave Cohen, I think, is stepping in at that point afterwards. Things are going to begin changing tomorrow as it relates to road closures and the like. And if you go to virtual.la.gov, you can get some information there. You can also get information at 511.la.org for information as well. And if you're looking for information about the airport and what's happening there, you go to flymsy.com, and you can get the latest information there as well. We've received a number of texts asking about whether or not the St. Claude Bridge and the bridges over the industrial canal, excuse me, are opened as of around 12:30 when we visited with St. Bernard Parish President Louis Pomez. He said that those bridges were not open to the public. They were only open to the first responder community at that point in time. They were working to try and get those bridges open with DOTD and city officials, but as of 12:30, they were in fact closed. So we appreciate you joining us today. Hope you have a good time playing in the snow, building the snowman. In other words, stay tuned. Scoot's headed your way for our continuing coverage of this historic winter event. Stay safe, stay warm.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.